Your Wedding Your Way, number 18.
How low can you go? Good morning, and it's a beautiful day again in Southern California, and I'm so glad you're here with us. For those of you who are new, I hope you keep following along and subscribe to our podcast. You can find all the information that you want over on our show notes. You can go to leanne.yourwedding@gmail.com to email me. I would love to hear questions that you have regarding your wedding plans. So, have you gone on to SplendaDestinationFlavor.com and checked out the flavor blends and all the happenings over there? I hope you have, and that makes me happy. And if you haven't gone over and checked them out, remember it's DestinationFlavor.com, and they talk about their different kinds of flavor blends they have. French vanilla, hazelnut, mocha. Sounds delicious to me. Drum roll, please. I'm so excited. This is so much fun. I know I've been talking to you for a couple of months now about something big that was going to happen. Well, it's big for me, and I hope you guys will have fun checking it out. I have a wedding that I did last summer featured in a magazine. I don't know if you get the magazine in your area, but it's called Premier Bride of Los Angeles, and you might be able to go on the website and check it out. Anyway, this wedding is on page 67 in the magazine. Now, this magazine isn't one of the full 8x11 magazines, 8.5x11 magazines that you normally see. It's a small 4x5 magazine, but it has a lot of information in it, and my wedding with Stacy and Michael is in this magazine on page 67. So that's a fun little thing, and you'll be reading through and it says, Florist, Your Wedding Your Way. Well, that's me. Woohoo! So go on over if you can and get one of the magazines or go to your bookstore and see what you can find. How low can you go? What do you think it's about? That's right, it's about saving money. How inexpensively can you do this beautiful wedding for? You really don't have to spend a fortune. The number one thing that you need to do, we discussed budgeting last week, and for those of you who are new, you can go back and pick up some of our old shows and see some of the things we've discussed. Well, I guess you can't see them. You can hear them. You can listen to the things that we have discussed, and then you can come right into this little session here. But you can listen to this one without those, so go ahead and listen. Anyway, the first thing you need to do is prioritize. Sit down with your fiancé and discuss what are the top 5 things that you want in your wedding. For example, one of your top things might be having the reception and the wedding at the same place. That's very important for many people because they don't want to have their guest come from the wedding to a reception place and somehow get lost in between. It's a lot easier for your guests if they just have one place that they're going to. Your only hope of saving while planning in a wedding is to write everything down. In the budget episode, I discussed having your notebook. Well, this is where we're going to get really detailed with our notebook. You want to keep some type of spreadsheet or just lined paper with your different topics going. Print out a checklist from one of the websites that I've mentioned before, theweddalert.com, or there's financialplan.about.com. There is also a good checklist, I believe, over on thenot.com wedding site. And these will usually have some good checklists that you can go through to keep everything written down. You want to give yourself at the beginning, when you're just starting your beginning stages, go through and estimate what you think everything's going to cost. Get a ballpark figure, maybe skim through some magazines, some planning books, and decide what you think you're going to spend on these different items. Now, mind you, we've said we've got our top five items that we want to start with, and then we'll go from there. Now, I might want to add that when you're doing your estimation, add about 15% after you've got what you think you're going to spend. This will probably be a closer number than what you begin to estimate. People don't really have a clue when they're just starting out how much these things can really run into. So you really want to estimate a little high. So think what you think and then add 15%, and then you'll have an idea as to begin with where you're going to be cutting things out of your wedding or what you can add. One of the number one expenses that I think you might really want to spring for is to hire a wedding consultant. Now, you may think that I'm just saying that because, well, Leanne, of course you want a wedding consultant. You're a wedding consultant. You want me to spend money on you or someone else. And that's true. I would love you to hire me. That would be fun and great, and I would love to meet some of you down here in Southern California. But you can really end up saving yourself money in the long run if you do spring for the expense of a wedding consultant. Many times, she'll know the best deal for florists, bakers and photographers that have really good plans. She'll know who gives you the best quality for your money. She may be an invaluable help when it comes to decorating. She might have ideas from other weddings that she's seen or done before, and she can help you plan with possibly even some hands-on help. Usually on the day of the wedding or the rehearsal dinner, the consultant will get right in there and help you with some decorating of some items. So you can really end up saving money in that way. Also, your wedding consultant is going to be there for you on the night of your rehearsal. It's always important to have somebody who's stepped out of the picture, as far as not one of the bridesmaids or not the mom or the bride, actually trying to help make things run smoothly. Because if you get too many people doing things, then things get forgotten. Especially if you have a bridesmaid who is in charge of making sure that the rings get to the wedding ceremony, or that same bridesmaid is also supposed to be in charge, because lots of times we put all of this onto our maid of honor or our matron of honor, and she's supposed to help us keep our head together. And if she's got so many different directions that she's going, it's kind of hard for her to keep it all together. So a wedding consultant can not only help to track where everybody's supposed to be and when they're supposed to be there, she can help you decide extra people that would be good help for you. If you have a really close friend, but she's out of town, so she's not going to be able to really afford to spring for the dress and the shoes and all of that, but you want to make her a part of your wedding, she can be in charge of making sure that your photographer has a list that he's going to go off of the different people that you want to have wedding pictures done with. People that you want to have single shots done with, or specific group shots that you want taken, and there might be just one special friend who could be in charge of that. It's also helpful to have a non-wedding person, because she can sometimes be a little more calm in the situation. When you've got all of your emotions running high and you're at the rehearsal and certain things don't go just right, sometimes you might end up kind of going overboard and saying things that you don't want to say. But a wedding consultant can just come in and say, this is how we're going to do things, and she can handle it just so-so and be matter-of-factly, and you won't have to worry about hurting anybody's feelings. So it takes a lot of the pressure off of you on the rehearsal night and on the wedding day. She's also likely to have helpful ideas for you with the rehearsal, different ways that you could do your ceremony, the order of the service so that it runs more smoothly, and also to help you with your reception, to help it flow smoother and to keep it in a specific order that is something that is pleasing to you. Having the reception at the same place is also another way to save some money. You have one fee for one site, and you don't have to worry about transportation to and from. And you don't have to worry about having the limo pick you up and take you somewhere. So you can really cut down in that area. Another way to save money is to print your own invitations. And this is something we'll talk about on a further podcast, but you can really save a lot of money in this area. And in my opinion, you can get something even more specific to your character, to your way of doing things. It can be more personal and more loving for you, in my opinion. But when you're looking at cutting costs, you want to look at the big picture. Think small and intimate, meaningful. If you have this huge wedding where you invite hundreds of people and then you have a huge sit-down dinner afterwards, it can get unbelievably expensive. So if you're really being wise and you don't have a large budget, just think small and just invite the closest of friends. So when you're thinking small, you want to go through your guest list. Write everybody down that you think you would like to invite. You, your mother, your groom, your future mother-in-law, and get the list all together. And have in your mind before you even begin this, the size of wedding that you think you want. And then when you get the list and you can look and see how far off you are from that, then you can decide whether they can invite some more people, or you may need to go back to your mom or to your groom's mom and say, is there anyone from this list that we can cut? And that sounds cruel, but it's really not. Think of it this way. There was a minister that I heard of that he said, don't invite more people than you can spend 1 minute with. So if you have 300 guests that you've invited to your wedding and you spend 1 minute with each of them, that would take you 5 hours at the reception to spend time with every single guest. So you really want to think about that when you're making your plans. Because if you can't actually get around to all your guests to greet them and say thank you for coming and letting them know how much you appreciate them being there and that you value the fact that they showed, then is it really that crucial that those people were invited? Another way to save money on your wedding is timing. You've always heard timing is crucial. Timing is so important. Well, it even matters in a wedding. If you time your wedding earlier, then it's going to be better for your budget. If you do a breakfast wedding, then you're going to save a ton of money because breakfast fees for a reception are much cheaper than if you have a dinner. And it goes up in price, lunch, dinner, and you can go skip dinner and go to the dessert bar. If you're having an evening wedding, say it begins at 6 o'clock, your people can get something to eat before they've come to your wedding, and then you can just go with the dessert bar at your reception and not have to worry about the sit-down meal. It's really truly proper etiquette if your wedding is after 5 o'clock that you do not serve a sit-down meal. So don't think you have to just because everybody else does it. People can plan accordingly, and if you say dessert reception afterwards on your response card, then they're going to know, no food included, and they'll be able to plan ahead. Another way to save money at a reception, if you do have a large reception, a dance reception, and you can do the dance reception with just doing the dessert bar, that's fine also, or you could do the dessert bar and some appetizers before. Decide what works for you, what you would really like, what you want to spend your money on. But when it comes to the bar area, you can save a ton of money if you just have the soft bar, and that means sodas, tea, water, ginger ale, that type of stuff, not having the hard liquor, because the prices really go up when you involve the hard liquor in it. If you do decide that you want to have alcohol at your reception, you can save yourself money also by purchasing at one of these warehouses. So you go to your local big box store and purchase all the alcohol that you think you're going to want. If you just want a bunch of champagne, then purchase a bunch of champagne. If you're going to want some wine to be served, then get that also. And maybe hire a friend that you know who can do bartending and just keep it in control, or you can just set it up and let people get it how they want it. And then at the end of the night, when it's all said and done, you'll probably have some bottles sitting there that are not opened. Now, if you were paying for an alcohol bar by the people who are catering it for you, They're not going to tell you that there were unopened bottles. They're just going to charge you this flat rate for the alcohol. So this way, if you have unopened bottles and you've purchased it outright from a store, you can take it back and get your money back. So those are ways that you can save when it comes to the drinks at a reception. One area that prices can really have a wide variance is in the florist, the bakeries, and the printers. You want to get quotes from 12 or so florists, 12 or so bakers. You might only have 2 or 3 pastry chefs in your area. You definitely want to be sure when you are doing the comparing that you are comparing apples to apples. Go into your florist with a specific style of bouquet. Show them a picture that you like, or say, I want 12 red roses, 3 stargazers, 6 pink roses, and some misty blue status. That's just some ideas of flowers to throw out there at them. And say, I want that all put into a wedding bouquet. How much is it going to cost? And do the same thing for your bridesmaids and for your boutonnieres and for corsages. Have exactly what you think you want written down on paper. Go to your 12 different florists, get your 12 different quotes, and look at some of the work that they've done, and then you'll know, this is the person I want to go with. They do a fabulous job. They gave me a fabulous price. Therefore, they are the ones I choose. The more you compare, the better chance you have of coming out saving yourself some money. If you just go with the first couple, then you can really be getting taken. Lots of times you're going to glean first to the person who does the most advertising. And if they're having to spend a lot of money on advertising, chances are they're having to pay for that advertising somehow, and it's probably going into that beautiful pastry cake that you have ordered from them. Some feel the difference between a photographer and a wedding photographer is not the quality, but the price. Now, this can be true, but it cannot be true also. Some people think that there's no difference between somebody being a photographer and a wedding photographer because they're taking pictures and it's just a matter of whether they have the right quality of camera or that type of thing. But lots of times, if you hire somebody who normally does children's photography to do your wedding, they're not going to know all the special little sweet shots that you might want. Now, if you have a total list of all the special sweet shots you want, then it might not be as bad to hire somebody who's used to doing another kind of photography that might give you a better price. But I truly say that you should consider the pictures you want, have them written out, and look at the packages that they're offering you. Look at their quality that they do with their work. Look at any other wedding photos that they've done. And that might give you some ideas also of some different pictures that you want if you're not really sure. And then when you've compared all of that together, when you've got list A and list B compared together, then you can decide, this is the person I want to go with. I love their work. Their price was reasonable. They're available on that date. And then I can use them. You might also want to give some special consideration to the date you choose when you're picking your wedding. Most times, if you choose a Friday or a Saturday for your wedding, you're going to have to spend more for the wedding. More for the site, more for the reception, more for the pastry chef, more for the photographer. It all adds out to more on those 2 days. Lots of times, if you pick a Sunday or a day during the week, you can save a remarkable amount. I know that one of the weddings I did this last summer, when she was looking at a Saturday wedding, they were going to charge her 25% more than they charged her for her Sunday wedding. And actually, in the long run, she ended up getting her Sunday wedding for 40% less on the reception site than she did before when she was planning the Friday or the Saturday wedding. So give that all consideration. I also know that if you pick a holiday to have your wedding on, you're going to spend more money also. This I learned from personal experience. My husband and I were married on New Year's Eve. We thought, what a wonderful time to be getting married. The whole world will be partying. It will just be a beautiful party day for our wedding. We were not thinking wisely. The photographer that I wanted to use said, oh, I'll do your wedding, but it will cost you $1,500 more for me to come out on New Year's Eve. Well, I turned around and said, thank you, but no thank you. We'll use another photographer. I was not about to spend $1,500 extra just for the night. But these are all things you need to consider when you're planning your wedding. If you have the availability to wait and pick a time that is off season or on another night other than a Friday or Saturday, you're going to save yourself a lot of money in the long run. Well, these are just some small ideas of ways you can save money. And as we cover more specific different ideas, say stationery and pastries and different ways of choosing them, we'll give you some more little tidbits on ways to save money. Well, that's the end of our show today, and I hope that we were helpful to you in saving some money on your wedding, giving you some ideas. If you have questions, please email me. Remember, it's leanne.yourwedding@gmail.com, and I would love to hear from you. Well, I hope you have a lovely afternoon. Now, until we meet again, may this day and all to come be blessed by God's love. Bye.
This has been an In Touch Productions podcast.